across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You're a fanny.
Shag a pony.
Radio. For the trouble, the lost, the weary eyed, and the nowhere else to go.
Wow!
Dusty Perverts.
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Wow, thank you, Billy. That's Hazy 79 has written that. It looks like the musical stroke concept album of the show is on, dear listener. It's got to be done. Thank you, Billy. That is that was spot on. I don't like the way when he was singing about souls, it sounded vulgar. Was that just my ears?
No.
He was singing our souls, but it sounded rude. Maybe we could do something with that, because this is not a rude show.
It's about to get rude.
It's about to get filthy. Who have we got next, Catherine?
Right, let me introduce you to Dr. Kate Lister. She's a lecturer from the Leeds Trinity University School of Arts and Communication. But if you are a Twitter user, you'll probably know her as the person behind the at Halls of Yore.
Halls of Yore. Now, as you know, I follow nobody on Twitter unless they're a member of the pop group The Monkees. Okay, so, yeah, but I'm aware of this feed constantly because you keep retweeting it. It's hilarious. Very, very funny. What kind of stuff is on there?
Old-fashioned words for fanny, mostly.
Oh,
and also, you know, terrible tests they used to do on sailors they had last week. This awful kind of plunger type effort.
Well, let's speak to Dr. Kate Lister now. Good evening, Kate.
Good evening.
So nice to talk to you. What was this test they used to do on sailors then with the plunger?
Well, it wasn't so much a test, it was more of a treatment. It was a picture of a urethral syringe that was used to inject mercury directly into the penis of somebody suffering with syphilis.
Yeah, right into your Aretha Franklin.
Quite testing, I would imagine, but no, it was full-gone syphilis by that point.
Good grief. Right, so here's the thing. You've got a book out. It's coming out soon. I've seen pictures of you looking delighted with it as well. You should, because I've had a look at it today. It's bloody brilliant. It's kind of Horrible Histories, like the mucky late night version.
But about fannies.
Well, I've read the first couple of chapters. It covers the word whore and where that probably comes from, a very old-fashioned word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it also the origins of the C word.
Okay.
There's a lot of C words. Yeah. I've been prepped that I can't drop too many C-bombs on your programme.
You can't drop any C-bombs on the programme. We have to be C-bomb free.
Really? They said I could have two. Is that not right?
Who said that? God, we're breaking out in a sweat here now, Kate. Go, no C-bombs.
No. They were very strict. No
has the C-word always been... Because it's like, it's the worst swearing, isn't it funny? We can't say the C word, but by saying the C word, everyone has got it flashing in their head in big neon letters. Has it always been, like, offensive?
No, it absolutely hasn't. Back in the medieval period, around about the 13th, 14th century, it appears in medical dictionaries and doctors are using it. It's just your day-to-day average word. You would go to the doctor, say, I think there's something wrong with my C word.
I love it.
And it started getting rude later on, relatively late on, didn't it?
Yes, it starts to take on a really offensive quality round about the Shakespearean time, sort of the rise of Puritanism. And it starts, you can see it in Shakespeare's plays and he's referring to it. He's kind of, it's very tongue in cheek and kind of he's just subtly alluding to it. There's a moment in Hamlet, I'll be really careful, I don't say it. But there's a moment in Hamlet where Hamlet says, do you think I mean country matters? But if you pause on the first syllable, then there's the joke being implied there.
Yeah, I remember at school as well as all laughing about the allusion to it in Chaucer. I mean, one of the great moments in The Miller's Tale. She gets caught by hers, which makes you wonder just how... How easy it was it flapping about?
Well, we watch Naked Attraction a lot, and some of them do flap about.
But my teacher told me something about that word, because he uses the word quaint, Chaucer.
Quaint, yeah.
And that my teacher suggested it may have an origin in the French coin or corner. He said, if you open a lady's legs, what do you get in the corner? And they're all related. But the truth is, according to your book, Kate, we don't really know, do we?
Well, we don't, and I'm taking my... from the Oxford English Dictionary, and it's one of those words that it's so old that we just kind of lose the origins of it, but it's thought to have given us a number of other words, and that word quainter that Chaucer uses also means intelligent, as in cunning.
Mm.
Or if you go up to Scotland, if you ken something, that means you understand something, like ken something.
Oh.
So the C word has also given us cunning and ken, and that's how Chaucer's using it. It means like an intelligence.
Ken from Newcastle, that makes sense. Is it true, Kate, that there used to be a street not too far from where we are, I think, near London Bridge, called Grope C Word Lane, and it's where all the sex workers would go and hang out?
Yeah, and it did exactly what it said on the tin. It was a place for groping C words.
Just giggling like school children, I know, but I love it. I do love it. And also, I nearly said it. The C word, it has kind of, it's funny, in England, Britain, it's kind of more acceptable than it used to be. In America, they still get very, very, very upset with that word. But if you go to Scotland, somewhere like Glasgow, it's a term of endearment,
well,
isn't it?
I found out a really interesting stat from your book, Kate, about Irving Welsh's book, Trainspotting. There's 731 C words.
Yeah.
In the film, only 17.
Okay.
Because as you say, that the use of it is different. You can be quite affectionate with it.
It's got a remarkable linguistic dexterity in how you use it. Most, especially in Scotland, you don't use it to mean genitals. It just kind of almost doesn't mean anything. It can mean a person, usually. But it's quite rare, actually, that you hear it being referred to mean the vulva, basically. That's the one that you don't hear very often. It's just a kind of, almost like a nothing word up in Scotland. He's a C word, she's a C word.
Oh, yeah, I watch, I don't know, you're probably aware of the comedian Limmy, and I watch him a lot, and he drops them, and it's not doing it for effect. It's his vocabulary. He's from Glasgow, working class Glasgow.
Absolutely.
And that is just part of the vocabulary, isn't it? I've always thought it fascinating, and it's a slightly dangerous thing to discuss on a phone-in show, but I've always found it fascinating how four letters on a page, or a noise, you know, that you make with your mouth, can cause so much offence to people, and you know, it can really upset people, and the same with other swear words, but that one in particular. How did the Puritans do it then? What was their why did they say you can't say that word anymore, guys? Come on.
I don't know if there was like a meeting where they made the decisions.
Very dry meeting.
Really dry. Everyone got a memo. Right. Okay. From now on, it's C word only. But it's just as sex became more and more censored in the Puritan era, so the language that we use to describe sex became more and more censored. In the earlier medieval period, swear words that they would use would be more religious in nature. If you'd say something like God's wounds or zooms, or you know, Christ's teeth or something like that,
Christ's
you wouldn't
teeth.
Use well along those lines.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't use a swear word related to a body part like we do now. We have lots of swear words related to reproductive organs, and it's mostly because in the medieval period, sex wasn't considered that offensive. It was kind of bawdy and a bit of fun, and they speak about it quite freely. Like you said, it's in Chaucer's work, so it's obviously, you know, some knockabout carry-on fun for them. But when you get to the Puritans, they really start suppressing sex. That's when you start getting this idea about sexual sin and sexual transgression, and people are punished for it. And so you start to see the language becoming more and more offensive around that, because people swear about what they care about.
What about whores? Catherine says that there are whores in the book. Because whores now is a very, it's a very unpleasant word.
Yeah.
I said sex worker earlier on.
Yeah.
Has whores always been an insult, always been a put down?
Pretty much. The etymology of it, the really early etymology, they think that perhaps it sprung from an original word that meant to desire, but it's Germanic, and so it springs from horror, really, and that means an adulteress. It's always been quite offensive, but it hasn't always meant someone that sells sex. It can just mean like sort of like slut or slag, for example. It just means a promiscuous woman.
Right.
And it's quite a contentious term, because it's one of those words that's in a state of reclamation amongst some groups. Is, you know, members of the sex work community were pretty quick to call me out on using it. So I've spent a lot of time researching the word and speaking to sex workers, and they've been incredibly generous and patient with me. And I have included the history of the word there, because I think it's useful to see how the word's evolved and what it means.
Yeah, because it kind of evolved just to be a word used generally by men to uppity women who they wanted to put in their place. They thought they stepped out of line.
Well, it's a strange insult, because it's the one that gets levelled at women the most throughout history, but it's got nothing really to do with their sexual state. Like, Joan of Arc was called the French whore, and she died a virgin. And Elizabeth I is the Virgin Queen, but she was also known as the English whore by the Spanish.
Mm.
So it seems to be that's the insult that they go for.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it the patriarchal thing? Is it? I can call Catherine a bit of a. You've been a bit of a cock tonight. I can just which she has. I can.
It's
just,
not Coyne Lannick can do him for
I,
it.
I can just about get away with that on here, and it is a much more acceptable word. But if I couldn't call her the C word. It's interesting, isn't it? The male genitals are dick, you know, cock, balls, get away with. But the female genitals, that's where the real insult is. I would struggle. Okay, I would struggle to get away with saying fanny.
Mm.
I certainly couldn't say the C word. The abbreviated verb of form of clitoris, I would probably get told. It's interesting, isn't it, that it's the female parts that seem to carry the most offence. I wondered why that was.
I suppose it's because throughout history it's been female sexuality that's come in for a particular amount of censor. This idea that, like, boys will be boys has been throughout Western history, and it's the women that have been punished for their sexuality far more. But it's like, even today, as you're saying, that we struggle to think of language to talk to about the vulva. I was speaking to a GP the other day, and I said, what's the language that people use when they come and speak to you? And he said that, like, most people go, there's something wrong with down there. That's what they say. And I'm not suggesting anyone, you know, uses the C word, because it might be everyone.
But here's the thing, even I, you know, I'm like an educated, I consider myself to be, you know, all waking, maybe not completely woke, but waking. But I've got two little boys that are 7 and 9, and a few years ago they asked me where the babies come from. And I had no problem saying penis. But I hesitated for a second before saying vagina.
Yeah.
I hesitated because it felt like I should put penis and vagina. It's the same language, you know. And yet I still felt that. Oh, should I be? Yeah, of course, I should say that.
I know, but it's vagina feels really clinical, yeah. And like it's not used very much in day to day life. I'm forever asking people what are your words that you use for it?
Yeah,
because it's either overly medicalized, really offensive, really childish.
Yeah, the childish, like, one is the one that gets me when you hear, you know, grown women refer to their foo-foo.
Minky, fairy,
Tuppence is a classic, though.
It's a tuppence.
Let's never get rid of the tuppence. Go on, Kathy.
Yeah, no, but what I found really interesting as well, I found all of it interesting, and I'm definitely buying it.
By the way, get pens and papers, guys, because we're going to tell you the title of the book, where you can get the book, and we'll tweet out all the stuff
and
as well.
Here's another thing, Kate. When I mentioned it, I was talking to my dad, who is a 65-year-old man, and he went, oh, whores are you? Yeah, all right, I follow her. And I went, I know what you're getting for Christmas. The thing I found really interesting was the origins of the word penis and vagina, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Kate's book, I learned penis is like sword and vagina is just sheath. So basically, you're walking around talking about your knob holder.
Oh.
That vagina is Latin for scabbard. It means something that you put a sword into.
You're just a receptacle.
Its whole etymological function. So it's not really very feminist at all.
Wow.
Really. So it's, you know, the C word is far more empowering because that might mean intelligence and cunning.
But language is evolving, right? So there is a chance that it will swing back the other way and the C word becomes acceptable again?
It'll be off the naughty step. Maybe. But I don't know, would you want that, though? Do you not like the fact that it's a bit naughty and it's there for emergencies?
Yeah, just break glass in case emergencies. I like the power of it myself, you know.
You just hold it back from time to time and then boom, you've got it out and then, stunned your friends.
Do you remember, Catherine, the first time you said the C word in front of your mum? Have you ever said it?
No, I never said it.
Have you never said it?
No, I said shit once in front of her and I got my mouth washed out with soap, so I wouldn't try the C bomb. No, I wouldn't, but I remember the first time I said it in front of you and you nearly died.
Yeah, I was...
Of laughter.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite careful with my words and I think the fact that I said it, like I said, it was powerful.
My boys, Kate, are fascinated with swearing. It's worn off a little bit, actually, but they're fascinated with swearing. And if they see a film that's got, like, an S-bomb in it, they go, my 7-year-old turns to me and go, there it goes. they saw a film with their mum the other day, and they said, oh, we saw a film yesterday with mummy. I said, oh, yeah, was it good? They said, yeah, it had the C word in it. And I started sweating and thinking, my God, what is going on in that household? And I went, really? And we talked a bit, and I said, just remind me what the C word is. And he looked at me and went, crap.
Sigh of relief.
And I breathed, and part of me wants to empower him and give him the keys to be the king of the playground for a day, but part of me is enjoying the...
want that conversation with the head of school.
He's enjoying the innocence. When did you start the Twitter feed, at Whores of Yore, and why?
I started it back, it's got to be about 2015, 2016.
Right.
And I'd love to tell you it was a really well thought out project, but it wasn't. Good. I was researching the history of sex, and I found reference to a quote-unquote strumpet in 14th century London who called herself Clarice Clatterbollock.
Hang on. It's not Kate. It's not the greatest line. It's not the greatest line. Could you say that again, please?
Yeah, this one more time. Clarice Clatterbollock.
Oh, God, that's my new Twitter name.
There we go. That's beautiful. Go on.
I think that was the first tweet I ever put out, and that was that.
I don't blame you. That's brilliant.
What is the book called, and where is the best place for people to get it that gives you the most money?
Okay, it's called A Curious History of Sex.
Yep.
And it's available through Unbound Publishing, and it's... Or if you order it there, the pre-order profits are being donated to Face the Sex Work Project in Leeds. So you get to do some good as well.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, Kate, Catherine?
Yeah, also, I've got to say thank you for introducing the term pudding bag to my vocabulary.
Kate, listen, you're welcome on any time. You want to come on?
Oh, thank you.
We will do a little tweet during the next break as well, and we'll get the link and send people off.
And this is going out as a bonus podcast tomorrow as well.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Kate, thanks so much for your time. We'll speak again. Thank you.
See you. speaks in.
There
Bye.
You go. That's Dr. Kate Lister.
She's brilliant.
At Whores of Yore on Twitter. A Curious History of Sex. We'll find that and we'll tweet out the link for that. I think we'll have to get a copy of that. She's good, man. Well done.
So good.
Well done.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Just tweeted a link if you want to get A Curious History of Sex. I think it's coming out in February. So, and there's all different packages you can get. It's on Unbound, so it's kind of like a pledge type thing, but it's not quite. But with the, hang on a minute. You can get it with, here we go. Yeah, so you can get all the different kinds. You can buy the book, you can buy the ebook, you can buy all different kinds of packages and things with it. So there's the link if you want to get it. I'm going to order one. 03-444-99-1000 is the telephone number if you want to get in touch. But absolutely anything you want. Let's go to Nigel from Maidstone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Nigel.
And Catherine.
Hello.
What can I do Catherine. For you tonight, Nigel?
Oh, quite a bit to talk about, really. But we didn't have much time on Friday.
We had quite a bit of time, and it was quite a frustrating.
I rang up later, though, didn't I?
I don't know if you rang up later.
It was after 12. Mm.
I don't know, but you came on, and we had quite a bit of time, and it was a little bit frustrating because you weren't listening to us.
No, but there's no need to. I'm not going to talk about those things.
Beautiful. What have you got for us tonight, then?
I'll just move into Mum's seat because it's a better signal. Mum's the word.
Mum's the word.
I've been watching The Addams Family. The first one they did. It was a brilliant film, wasn't it?
I've never seen the films. Never seen the films. I remember the TV series, but I've never seen the films.
Oh, you never seen films? They've been out on VHS for years and stuff.
Have they? No, I've not seen them.
Christopher Lloyd, you know, with the white hair, Back to the Future.
Yep.
Well, basically,
Great Scott!
And they make him up to look fat and bald and ugly in it. But
couldn't do that now. They'd have to get a fat, bald, ugly man to play the part.
Yeah. Christina, the very first film that she did at 12.
Christina Ricci,
yeah. Yeah. It's such a brilliant, so funny, but not frightening, but funny.
No, it's a comedy, isn't it? Yeah, have they just remade it, or is it just a cartoon that they've done? You've done a cartoon movie of it. Nigel, could you ask him, Catherine?
Nigel, could you move to where you normally ring us?
Yeah, this is on. I'm in the seat now. Is that better?
No, it's not. Don't you normally call us from, like, your bedroom or somewhere?
No, I'm in the bedroom. The children above my head. I'll go into the kitchen.
And that's just talking about children.
Yeah. There's children above your head.
Better, isn't it?
Safe for anyone.
Hello.
This is over by the window.
Yeah. Okay, stay there.
If you could just start every phone call from there, that would be great, mate.
I was going to, but I thought we were in Mum's chair.
It's the window. We remember now. It's the window. If you start every phone call there, it saves us about 45 seconds of trash. Okay. Thank you,
mate. Window, Lee. Anyway, did you know I had a girlfriend?
Yes.
69?
Did I talk about that last time?
69?
No, 62.
Wasn't asking her age, mate.
Oh, don't now.
Yeah, anyway, so I've been seeing her for 3 weeks, and I saw her this afternoon.
Did she see you?
I've gone back to busking, by the way, every day in Tunbridge. Oh. Busking.
Beautiful. That's great news.
Yeah, and someone filmed me for YouTube. It's not been put on yet, but yesterday I got £3 off a man, which was handy.
Very handy. Well, it's good if you get... Yeah. Did you get any money today?
No, because it rained before I could get started. I got done one or two songs and it was raining, so I had to put the equipment away because I didn't want to get it wet.
Yeah, no, but, you wouldn't.
So then after that I went to McDonald's for the burger and then I went to my girlfriend's after the burger.
And then another burger.
Energy.
Come on.
Give me a bit of energy. Anyway... So, yeah, I told you before she's got a telly on the wall in her bedroom and that you push the two beds together and you said don't fall down the crack, didn't you?
So don't fall down her crack, yes.
No, the bed crack.
Because
you can. They can open up and you could fall down the middle.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but she's not well at the moment. She's got a touch of flu.
Headache, is it?
No, sore throat.
Steady on, Nigel, come on.
She can't swallow very well.
Hey, wow. Can we get Kate Lister back, please?
No, it's not funny, but it,
no,
she suffers
it's
from
serious.
She suffers from arthritis, Ian.
Yeah.
And she has to drink morphine out of a bottle.
Morphine out of a bottle, you say?
Oh, God.
Yeah. My gosh. She has to drink morphine out of a bottle. Wowzers.
The doctor,
you're going out with a junkie. Beautiful.
No, the doctor has to give her the bottle of water. She could put it in a cup, though, couldn't she?
She could do, yeah. It's classier. Yeah.
But her spine is crumbling at the bottom. Not at the bottom, but her spine is crumbling. But but it's not going to stop her walking. She won't give in to it, she's very clever. So I'm helping. At least that she's got a good friend for me to help her.
Do you help her get up?
No, she can get up. But
does she help you get up?
No, sometimes.
Why is it so quiet? Whack this up, because I'm going to have fun with this.
She helps it to come up sometimes, yeah. She's helped. A joke there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Anyway, I wanted to sing you I Believe I Can Fly. But I did that at Butlin's one.
By R. Kelly, the Sex Pest. Sure, beautiful. Yeah. Sounds appropriate after this call.
Oh, I didn't know he was a Sex Pest.
That's what morphine does.
Yeah. But anyway, so you can only get that off the doctor, morphine, can't you?
Well, I was walking through Camden today and I think I was offered it by five gentlemen.
They probably got it off the doctor first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I forgot what I was going to say now.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah, before that, after that.
Oh, before that, yeah.
So I've been gone back to busking. That's good, isn't it? So I can earn a bit of cash, a few bob anyway.
Yeah.
It all helps, doesn't it? Well, a pound can buy you a meal, can't it?
Yeah.
A pound.
Yeah.
Or a burger or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not. What to see in the next time?
Have you moved away from the window?
Yeah.
Oh, don't.
I'm looking for. Hello, I'm still here.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll do my song then.
Yes, please.
Okay. Is it better now? Now I'm standing still.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'll bash on with the fire. Bash on with the.
By the way,
then.
Just 1 second. By the way, call is. I should have done this as a topic, of course. What do you call your fanny? 0344 499 1000. Genuine phone in. What do you call yours or your partner's or your mum's fanny?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's go.
I've got one more thing to tell you.
Not what you call your mum's. No.
No, not that. Anyway. I've got another friend.
So curious, but yes.
I've got another friend, a male friend, who's 87, and we're meeting up for a coffee on Wednesday. So I've got two friends.
Does he, that's nice, that's lovely.
Yeah, but, and, he fancies me.
Oh, here we go.
So does he like it creamy?
I don't know. Yes. Now, I'm going to say that I may be a bit like you about things, you know?
What, a very dry sense of humour?
No.
Mustachioed. No.
I like the company of male and female.
Beautiful. Is that how you feel?
I'm not coming out. I'm not quite sure yet, but I don't really mind, you know?
Wow, Nigel.
But it's difficult for me to talk about it, as you know.
It's very difficult for me to talk about. I chose to talk about it today.
I don't see anything wrong with having a male and a female friend, do you?
No, not at all.
No.
I feel comfortable with
Jim, my friend, and I feel comfortable with my girlfriend.
So do you think you might go for a workout in the gym?
No, that's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
No, I don't do that anymore.
Do you feel happier that you're now that you're starting to think that maybe you might feel comfortable with men and women?
I think so, but I'm sticking with Claire, because I like women more than men.
Same here, brother.
Yeah, but I don't mind a male's company or a cuddle or something, you know, from a male man.
Do you know what, Nigel? That's a really lovely thing you've just said.
And I'm sorry, I couldn't tell Mum. I couldn't tell Mum because I bottled it all up inside.
Gosh, that's a big thing to. I bottled it up for 30 years, and you've bottled it up for years.
It's hard to talk about, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, it's tough to talk about. Of course it is.
But you feel so guilty, don't you, if you want to have a male friend and a female friend?
I felt ashamed.
Yes, I do feel ashamed for wanting to go out with a man as well as a woman. Yeah.
But it turns out, I've discovered recently, there's nothing to be ashamed about.
I don't think Mum would have minded, do you, as long as I was happy.
I think she would have been fine with it.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell her. I don't mind having a male friend, you know, as well, you know.
Oh, Nigel. Well, I'm
difficult for me to talk about.
It's very difficult. I feel really honoured. Mm. I'm sure Catherine does, and I'm sure the listeners do, that you felt comfortable talking about it with us. That's a really...
It's quite common, isn't it, really? I mean, look at Kristen Stewart. You think it's quite completely normal.
She loves anything and everything.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't feel guilty about it, do they?
No, they don't. These big movie stars. They love it.
Miley Cyrus, of course.
Yeah.
And Miley Cyrus has been going with a lady behind his back.
Well, they've split up now.
Well, technically she would have to be... Well, let's not get into that.
No.
It was on the internet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? I missed that one.
Stop it.
Okay, it was on the internet, it was, yeah. I'll do my song then, Ian.
Yes, please, Nigel. Thank you for sharing with us. I look forward to...
Am I going to do the chorus? Because it's such a long shot, a lot of reverses to it. I just do the part I know the best without a backing.
Okay.
Here we go, Ian. Hello?
Yeah, no, we're listening. We're waiting for it.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. See me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. Spread my wings and fly away.
Thanks, Nigel. Have a good night, mate.
Thanks a lot, Ian. Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye. Well done. Night, well done. A lot of you saying a lot of nice things about that call on Twitter. That was... It's tough to talk about that stuff. It's tough to... I was doing a talk about mental health today at Viacom, and I went in and it said, Ian Lee is here to talk about mental health, anxiety and bisexuality on Bisexuality Week. And I was like, right. I knew that was going to be part of it, and I said I was cool talking about anything, you know, so I wasn't... They didn't throw me in the deep end, but just seeing it written on a screen, and then this young woman, Becca, somebody, she's the presenter on MTV, I can't remember her last name, and, you know, she's like 25 and I'm like 45, and she's going, you've just come out as bi. And I said, yeah. And she's like, she high-fived me, welcome to the club. And I got a laugh by saying, okay, everybody, if you all strip off, this is what we're really here for. Me and Becca are going to choose teams. Mm-hmm. But it was just weird talk. I get very nervous talking about it still, and very, very uncomfortable. And that's why I had to make a joke about it there. And so it is tough to talk about, Nigel, but well done. And that was, it's tough. Carrying when I told you about it, you said, oh, I'm really sorry you had to carry that around with you for so long as a secret. And it is it is tough. Well done, Nigel. Thank you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Nigel's call is canon, right? It's canon.
It's definitely canon.
Beautiful, love it. Let us go to Wayne. Good evening, Wayne.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hiya, Wayne.
Oh, yeah. What were you going to say then, Kath?
Nigel. I was thinking about Nigel.
Go on, Wayne. What you got, mate?
When I was at Bain, my mum used to call me sisters. That's a noon. She used to say, when you're in the bath, make sure you wash your noon.
Your noon?
Like Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits.
Your noonie.
That's a good one. I wonder.
She used to tell me to wash me old man. She used to call my bits me old man.
Well, they do look like an old man. Even youngsters, they look like an old man, all wrinkly and old before their time.
Noon and old man in Newcastle.
What do you call? Well, it's not too personal a question, Catherine.
What, my own?
Do you refer to your vaginas in front of your girls?
I don't often get to chat about it. Probably Fanny.
Oh, and you can't say Fanny to a kid.
We call them all kinds of things.
That's a swear word.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is, but it's...
My kids, when I taught them the proper word for it, and they developed it into, well, she kicked me in the vagina, was one of the shouts.
Oh, yeah,
one
the
day.
Boys call it a vagina.
Which is but technically, you know, the vagina is the pipe.
Right.
It's your vulva on the outside. Okay, no one wants to refer to that.
You've lost me now. I've got no idea what you're talking about. Now, have you got kids, Wayne?
No, single.
Okay, all right. Well, you can still be single and have kids these days. So it's happening. Anything else, Wayne?
No, that's it.
Nice one, mate. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. 0344-499-1000. What did you, what do you call your private parts?
My goddaughters call it their tuddly.
Tuddly. I wonder if it's a regional thing. Do you know what? You know what's a great phone in? That whenever you throw it out, you always get... What do you call the TV remote control?
Oh, yeah.
A sec. What do you call yours?
Dickie.
A dickie?
Mm-hmm.
Why? There you go. We're talking about TV remote controls now, not genitals.
Yeah. No.
But a dickie.
It's stupid, because my parents... My dad... Right.
0344-499-1000.
It's actually Dickie Dirt, right? Which we know is shirt.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it just caught on to be that in our house.
Dickie.
Yeah, the dickie.
I think I call it the magic.
The magic.
Yeah.
The power, we call it. He's got the power.
The zapper.
Yeah.
The zapper. What do you call it? Do you just call it the TV remote, like some boring...
With the remote.
The remote. There we go. I'm guessing that's from a kid mispronouncing it at some point.
Yeah, my sister always called it the remote.
So beautiful. There you go.
The troller. Another one.
What did they used to call it on Telly Addicts? Do you remember?
I know.
Noel Edmonds Telly Addicts? Wasn't it the hoofa doofa?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't it the hoofa?
That's a word for any old thing, isn't it?
Is
hoofa
it? Doofa. 0344-499-1000. What do you call your remote control? What do you call a fanny and a dick?
The thing is, right, there are loads of words for the male member that are kind of inoffensive and but not babyish.
Yeah.
But Kate's right. They're either super medical, really really crass.
Yeah.
Or babyish. What's the, well, there's no, the only one that's in between, I reckon, is fanny.
The one, as I get older, I'm getting better saying it in certain circumstances, but it makes me cringe. Pussy.
Yeah, but that's quite sexual, that.
Pussy.
I wouldn't say that to my daughters.
Oh, no, of course you wouldn't say to your daughter. I'm surprised you say fanny to your daughters.
Oh, I'm not. Fanny.
I wouldn't say it to
fanny,
kids.
Fanny and Knob are from the same factory, aren't they?
Wasn't that a TV series in the 80s on CITV? Weren't they like knitted little dollies that lived on the canal? 0344-499-1000. James calls it a flicker, but I don't know what he's referring to, James.
I do.
Could we really, could you narrow it down a bit? Let's go to Susan for a little bit. Yes, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kat.
And hello.
Can I just say something about Nigel's little comment there about his male friend and being too embarrassed to tell his mum that he liked to have a male friend as well as a female friend? Nigel, I mean, I'm not quite clear why Nigel had a problem with that.
Because lots of people do have. I had a problem with it for 30-odd years.
But like, it doesn't mean to say he wanted to have sex with a man. And if he did, it wouldn't have been a problem, would it?
Yeah,
wouldn't have been a problem.
Gosh, you're so out of touch with the real world.
I don't know his mum, do you? She was a very old lady.
Yes, and so was mine.
Okay, he shouldn't. Of course he shouldn't. I felt bad about it for 30-odd years. People feel bad about stuff. So that's great. People feel bad about it. What was the other point you wanted to make?
To switch the coin to the other side. I'm a woman and I've had girlfriends. I didn't go to bed with them. I adored them.
Susan, you've totally misunderstood the entire point of Nigel's call. What was the other thing you wanted to mention?
Well, I used to tease a boyfriend. I used to say, have you been playing around? Have you been shaking hands with your bishop? Or have you been choking the bishop?
Oh, what, when he turned the telly over?
No, if he was masturbating, I'd say, oh, have you been choking the bishop?
Well, he's
and
choking
we
the
used
chicken.
To laugh about
bashing the bishop.
Bashing the bishop, choking.
Shaking hands with the unemployed.
Yeah. The unemployed, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much. There we go, that's the end of that.
It's never over.
I cannot cannot stand her calls. I can't stand them, and I don't believe her. And she totally...
I find them bloody hilarious.
And she totally misunderstood Nigel's call.
But there is the advice for anyone who's struggling with their sexuality. Don't!
Here's the thing, right? And this is the thing I've found as well, is that you say you're embarrassed or ashamed or something, but so many people... Suddenly, Nigel, you know, that news is 2 minutes old. People are phoning up to give him advice and tell him what he did was wrong. Well, it's not your concern. For whatever reason, people are embarrassed or ashamed to address certain aspects. Many people are embarrassed or ashamed to address certain aspects of their sexuality. And those reasons are generally wrong, you know, but those reasons, I couldn't talk
about it. Sometimes they're right.
Yeah. I couldn't talk about it for years and years and years. And to just say, oh, you should tell his mum, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Of course there's nothing to be ashamed of, but human brains don't always see it like that.
You don't know what his mum was like.
So, but out. Let's go to Nick. Good evening, Nick.
Oh, hi. How are you tonight? How are you guys?
How are you, Catherine? Because I know how I am. How are you? I don't know how you are.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
I'd just like to say that I'm 50 years old, and I can recall when I was younger, I also used to dance on the coal shed.
Did you really?
I did, yes. Yes, we had one outside when we lived in Wilson.
Grandad, if I'm good, will you let me have a dance on coal bunker? Listen, it's the closest thing to a stage we had, and it made a delightful noise underfoot. What's not to like?
It did. And also, I'd like to say... congratulations to Ian for coming out as bisexual. I think it's
extremely
brilliant.
I thought I'd won a prize, but I have won a prize. I've won the prize of freedom.
Self-respect.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that.
Take care. Goodbye.
Thanks, mate. Nick. Take care. Bye-bye. That was a nice call. I like that. Let's go to Damo. Good evening, Damo.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Kath.
Hey,
Damo.
Hey.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to put my adage onto the female anatomy nameage.
Yes, put your adage on there.
I think it should be judged on appearance. So.
Don't make that noise, for God's sake.
No, what I'm saying is. Okay. Mm. There's a huge spectrum of names. But
the C spectrum of names. Have you had a little bit to drink tonight, Damo?
I've had a couple of ciders.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Do you want to try this now, or do you want to wait until you're sober?
No. Let me just give you the gist of what I'm saying. So,
yes.
The best of the best is a peach. So the best is a peach.
I've never seen a vagina that is...
That looks like a bum.
Looks like a peach. Do you mean it's got, like, it's a little bit hairy?
Oh, God.
No, far from it.
Well, because peaches are hairy.
No, they're not.
Peaches are hairy, mate. Peaches have got hair on.
They've got a fuzz.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you can't deny that there is fuzz on a peach. So you like them fuzzy?
No, I don't.
Well, then you can't call it a peach.
Okay, well, let's go to the worst angle of the scenario.
Is it going to be growler or something?
It's similar to growler. It's a badly packed kebab.
Come on, Damo. That's not how we talk about women's genitals. Come on.
No.
What do they call yours? A tiny, useless penis? I mean, Come on.
Well, luckily, I haven't found a badly packed kebab.
Because they don't exist.
Well, I should hope not, but...
All women are beautiful. Upstairs, downstairs. All men are beautiful. Upstairs, downstairs. Everybody's different. Everybody's shaped differently. Everybody feels different. Everybody looks different and tastes different. And everybody is beautiful down there.
This is true.
Thank you very much for your call, Damo. I don't actually appreciate it. That was unpleasant. That was unpleasant. I'm sorry about that. Of course, what I just said was rubbish. As
I know, because I've been scared by some of those ones on Naked Attraction.
No, it's like everybody is different, and you know, everybody looks great, you know, and that's not very pleasant.
Also, women don't need anything else to feel embarrassed about.
No. That's not great. Hey, I watched the best. Thank you to everybody who told me this was on Saturday morning. I only caught the semis and the finals. International tag. Did you watch? You saw some of it. You came out. The tag, the IT World Championships. My God. Me and my boys watched the semi-final and the finals. So it's in this place in East London. It's like this sort of, like a small sort of theatre. And in the middle of the theatre is all this, it's like an obstacle course, right? And one person, there's all these different teams, and it's mano a mano, and it was men. One person.
That's not what mano a mano means.
Yes, it does actually. It means It means man on man.
Doesn't.
Well, it does.
Hand to hand.
It doesn't.
It does.
Means man to hand. Does it?
It means hand to hand.
Well, mano means hand.
Yeah.
All right, mate. All right. Okay.
Levanta la mano.
Okay, Catherine.
Si conoces.
Yeah.
La palabra mano.
And what language is that?
Spanish.
You don't. Oh, you do speak Spanish, but you've got that wrong. Mano.
It'll be hombre, hombre.
No, that's what Speedy Gonzalez says when he's going faster, faster. Hombre, hombre.
No, it doesn't. It says andale, andale, riba, riba, riba.
No, now you're being racist. Got ya. Being racist. Those aren't. Those are like. It's like. You know, there's. And I'm not going to say them. There's certain words people do when they want to pretend they're speaking Indian, right? Those are words that people pretend when they want to pretend that they're Mexican. And I'm not saying it. You're an actual racist.
Tell me again how this.
You are a little bit of an Send them back is Catherine's mantra.
Send them my way first.
Okay.
What?
So we played, you like it, the hairy Frenchman.
French? No.
So it was tag, Giselle and Ren, stay there, gonna come to you in a bit. In fact, let's go to Ren first. Good evening, Ren!
Hello! Sorry, I've got on speakerphone.
Get off speakerphone.
Hey, hello.
Are you off speakerphone now?
I'm off speakerphone now.
Thank you very much indeed, Ren. How can we help you on a Monday?
Oh, God, yes. The man that spoke before. I've been listening to you all evening and doing my own business and making pineapple chutney.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it isn't. I really am making pineapple chutney and I don't think it's going to turn out quite rightly.
Okay.
But the man before, he spoke to you and obviously he was drunk and he was talking about, you know, the badly packed kebab.
Yeah.
That's not great, is it?
No, it's horrible.
Women's vaginas, I mean, there are so... I need to present my credential. But I'm a...
You've got vagina credentials?
Positive. Sorry?
You've got vagina credentials?
I do have vagina credentials,
beautiful.
Actually.
Let's hear it.
I'm a kink and sex positive educator.
Hacha, wow.
I am also a female ejaculator.
Good for you. Can I just say, my first ever girlfriend was what we call in pornography squirting, I believe.
Squirting, gushing, yeah.
My first ever girlfriend, Ren, ejaculated, right?
Okay, how old were you?
17. So,
right, okay.
So I assumed that all women did that. And for the next 20 years, I'm thinking, my God, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Why am I going wrong? But I didn't, it took a long time to realize, not 20 years, but it took a long time to realize, actually, not everybody, not every woman does that.
No, they don't. That's one of the greatest crime shames of our society.
Crime shame.
I was around your age when I first ejaculated.
Oh.
And, I'm not going to go into details,
please
but.
Don't.
I honestly thought I'd pissed on his face.
There's detail.
That is quite a bit of detail. That's quite a bit of detail.
Well, I didn't actually describe how it...
No, okay, we got
we're
the
adults.
Idea.
We're adults.
We're adults. Exactly.
But you're right. I was 17, 18, and that happened, and I was aghast. I was like, what? Yeah. What? What's happened?
Yes.
And... I said, I'm sorry, I've pissed on you. And he went, no, you haven't, it's not. And then my own body shut down, and I never did it again for maybe 25 years.
No! What, out of shame, do you think? Something locked.
I don't know. There was a block. And it wasn't that he wasn't understanding.
Mm.
There was something in my head that said to my body, I can't do this again.
Gosh.
So I had to consciously relearn the technique.
Yeah.
So when you get callers that are describing women's genitalia like that, it's, you know, the badly packed kebab.
Oh, no, that was unpleasant. And I hope you heard us calling him out.
I heard that, and that's why I'm ringing you, because you did call him out.
Good. I thought you were ringing to tell me off then for a second.
Part
of me did think, well,
no,
maybe
you're
I should
not
have...
Mike.
No, okay.
My nemesis, Mike.
Mike Graham.
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you go. I didn't know he was still on.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's not safe. We get the point. You're crazy. You're a crazy guy. That's a blind melon. It's okay. Tim is angry. He keeps calling in. Chris is angry. Chris, keeps going on about was the Theresa May broke the law guy, mm-hmm. I think. Under which law did Theresa May get an extension? There was no reason to get an extension, as it was in British law we were to leave on the 29th of March. One of the judges yesterday was a legal advisor for Anthony Blair. It's all a bit too complicated for you. And it's too complicated for you because the first sentence means nothing. Under which law did Theresa May get an extension? That doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. It's absolute... But doesn't mean under which law? What do you mean? What do you mean? So we were supposed to come out on that date, and then she got an extension. I don't understand what's so tricky about that. And yeah, Tony Blair has a lot of money, so he uses really good, excellent judges and legal advisors. He uses the best because he can afford it, and that's why we have the best looking at the really important decisions and legal cases in this country. I can't understand why you think it's acceptable for Boris Johnson to break the law. You voted, right, so that we would be in control of our laws. Well, that's what's going to happen. We just had a law that was looked at by the best judges in the mind. They went, yeah, no, we can't do that. You can't do that. It's against the law. Okay. That's what you voted for, isn't it, Brexit guys? Isn't it? Let's go to James. Good evening, James.
Hello. How are you?
None of your business. What do you want?
Is Kath there tonight?
None of your business. What do you want?
Oh, right, Kath. Nice to speak to you too. I got a joke for you.
Go on then, what you got?
Well, it's not so much a joke, but it's a story, okay?
Alright. Okay, go on.
Well, Roger, my cat...
I will do no such thing.
...booked himself a holiday with Thomas Cook...
Okay.
And he was, I'm in Weymouth in Dorset, and he was going to fly from Bournemouth Airport up to London, and he was going to Catford.
Yep.
And then Thomas Cook obviously went bust.
Yes.
And
so it's a very complicated setup, but what I'm guessing is going to be a very, very weak punchline.
Did he have a passport? Because that's all going to get complicated post-Brexit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this is pre-Brexit.
No, I'm just raising some Brexit concerns, that's all.
I'm sure James has considered what's going to happen after October the 31st, mm-hmm. November the
1st. I got a text today from the passport office saying, and I'll read it to you. They're concerned about me.
Let him do his joke.
Passport validity rules will change after Brexit. You may need to renew earlier than planned.
Let him do his joke. This is a complicated setup.
When's the joke starting?
It started,
oh.
I think.
No, it's a true story.
Oh, okay.
It's just got a comic end. Roger the cat flew to Catford.
Yep. There's not an airport at Catford, but continue, vous s'il vous plaît, monsieur.
Well, he landed at London City Airport and then drove Catford.
Yep.
And they went bust, and his holiday didn't go through, and he lost all his money because it wasn't cat hole protected.
Is cat hole like a cat's arsehole?
No, I think he means like atoll, the
travel agency thing.
I tell you what, James, that wasn't funny at all. Thanks very much for your time. Let's go to Alan Caddick. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Kath.
Yay!
Jeez, I'm getting a headache tonight. You got any pills?
I probably could obtain some, yeah.
Give me some drugs. I've got some drugs. We got this party started. Alan, you got your
So here's the thing, the late night alternative transcripts, we are about 8 books away from making £2,000 for the Samaritans. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So thank you for your support, Alan. Thank you very much indeed. It's every penny is appreciated.
Yeah, I'm currently looking at page 124 at the moment.
Mm.
Work experience.
Okay, I don't remember because I haven't got the book in front of me.
I remember.
Have you got the book with you?
No.
So you have to be Mo and I'll play you.
Here's what you're going to do, Alan. You're going to read it out and you're going to do all the voices.
Okay. Yes, long one, you're on the wireless. Hello? Yeah? Yeah. Hi, Ian. I apologise to you, to be honest. I apologise to Catherine. Okay, so Ian, I need some work soon. Can I do it with you? No, I'm not writing, mate. No. Why? Because you've been rude to me and you've been horrible to Catherine. That's why. And there are a lot of people who have been willing to be nice to us or have been indifferent to us that if they were to ask, I would consider much more seriously than you. I think it would be offensive to those people that haven't been rude to us to invite you in for work experience. But it's a disagreement in opinion, really.
Hang on. You're just doing the same voice. I don't know when you've changed speaker.
Order! Point of order, Italy!
Now, is this in the book or is he just freestyling now?
That was an okay Burko, but he's more order!
Order!
Point of order, Mr. Ealy.
Is this in the book? I don't have the book in front of me.
No, you said speaker. Transferring to John Burko
mode. I've got a blinding headache because of the idiots we've had phoning up tonight. I'm going to jump in my car and I'm going to drive to Birmingham and I'm going to shove my fist so far down your throat it's going to come out your backside.
It's a metaphor.
I mean it literally. Alan?
Oh, now.
Has he hung up?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. He better start running. What's wrong? Why are you crying?
No.
I mean it literally. I'm going to go and do that.
No.
I'm doing it.
You're not doing that.
Who's this guy? Have we spoken to this guy? Hello, guy. Hello? Who's this?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Ian, it's me, James, again, with the appalling cat joke.
Oh, right, you have more stuff.
But, no, I just had a film recommendation for you and Kath as, yeah, just a film recommendation. It's called Zombie Driftwood.
Okay, what happens in it?
I don't know, because I only ever saw about 40 minutes of the film.
You want us to watch a film that you couldn't be bothered to sit all the way through? What, so we can tell you the ending?
No, I had one of those really crap old PlayStation 2s that I used to play my DVDs on. And I got about sort of 35, 40 minutes in, and then it decided to stuff up and it wouldn't play the rest of it. So I was really pissed off because I couldn't see the whole film.
Why are you recommending it to us?
Because, if you're a loose end at a weekend, I thought you might like a DVD to watch.
I'll watch a film that someone has recommended that they've seen all of.
Okay.
Was the first 40 minutes any good?
Yes, it was quite good. It's got zombies in it.
Okay, all right, and some driftwood. All right, thank you so much for your calls, James. Maybe go and have a little rest, mate. I think you don't want to wear yourself out too much. Flipping heck, man. I've got a blinding headache. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. And here's the thing, here's the problem. We are now in a situation where people will phone up and defend the Prime Minister breaking the law because he's doing what 17.4 million people want. And that's why Boris Johnson cannot lose. Because the court case yesterday, no one will have changed their mind. No one will have gone, I think Brexit's a bad idea, or I think Brexit's a good idea. No one will have changed their mind. Everyone's mind is the same. It just makes people more entrenched, right? And so now all the people that are champing at the bit to get Brexit done at all costs are now seeing all of this as a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory. It's the elite. It's the liberal elite. It's the London mafia. It is You know, it's a class war now. It's people who are out of touch with reality telling working class people what to do. When it's not, it's people, it is the elite, in as much as these are the elite observers and practitioners of law, people that we should be proud to look up to and listen to when they speak on such important issues. These are the elite following the law. But people will see it as a conspiracy to stop Boris Johnson doing what working class people voted for. And it's not, and I've told you my views on Brexit. It appears we have some new listeners tonight. We have some new, really intelligent listeners and some thickos. I've told you my views on Brexit. I won't tell them again unless specifically asked, because I think it's tedious. I think it's almost irrelevant, and it's not what a lot of you think. It doesn't fit into your binary narrative of pro and anti. So, you know, what am I going to do? But we're all screwed.
I think it comes to something when you've got a former cabinet minister, John Whittingdale, saying things like, there is a judgment which is superior to that of any court, and that is the judgment of the British people.
It's not.
Which British people?
It's not, though.
So what, mob rule?
John Redwood today suggesting that Parliament should be above the law. No, God, no. No. We should all be held accountable to the law. Am I really stupid and naive in saying I was brought up to respect the law? Doesn't always go your way. Sometimes mistakes are made. But you respect the law. You function within the laws. Otherwise, what is the point? And what you're saying, only the Prime Minister can operate outside the law? Only rich people that studied at Eton are allowed to? What is this criteria? You're only allowed to break the law if you, dear listener, agree with it? That's the only time we can break the law, if it goes your way?
If this is allowed, what about a government that you don't agree with? What if they do something?
What?
They
what?
Have to for the people.
What is this, man? What is this? And this is the state we're in, where people's going, yeah, no, of course it's okay for Prime Minister to break the law. Of course it is. He's just doing what people wanted. Here's the thing, thickos. If you think otherwise, you're thick and you're confused, right? The decision by the courts yesterday were apolitical. Okay? They were not anything to do with politics. They were to do with law. That's it. Simple as that. Simple as that. If you don't get that, I'm really sorry. There's no hope for you. We've got an empty switchboard, dear listener. Why don't you give us a call? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unconventional after hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else. When the sun goes down, he comes alive with callers from the other side.
The ones who want to air their views on the stuff that never makes the news.
Do fish bleed? Do pigeons have homes? Were the monkeys better than the Rolling Stones?
Would you ever use a haunted loo?
What made Ian turn the air so blue?
How do you sleep at night, you seething little...
Listen each weeknight from 10, and you'll soon find out you're just like them.
Something extraordinary is happening on your radio. Make sure you don't miss the show that everyone else is talking about.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, were on most nights. We can't always guarantee. There's a reason we were off yesterday, and the boss said, do you want to do it? It's a newsy show. Do you want to do it? And I said, first of all, whenever I'm offered the opportunity to have a night off, unpaid, I should say, I tend to go for the night off because I'm a lazy guy.
So weird. Lacker.
So lazy. Listen, the show is going to evolve and stuff because the station is getting newsier. You will have noticed it. The station is getting more right-wing. My politics will not change. well, I don't even know what my politics are, slightly left of centre, a bit of a hippie sometimes. I don't know. I'm not going to become all Julia Hartley Brewer. And it's not necessarily going to become a newsy show. It just might become a little bit more newsier. And it sort of has become a little bit more newsier in the last 2 weeks. But you may not have even noticed it. You may not have even noticed it. And we're going to have Catherine and I, I've got to send the email. I must do that tomorrow. Let me write that in my diary. Catherine and I are going to have a meeting with our two bosses to discuss how, for example, we would have done yesterday's show, which was a big news day. I mean, you know, in our style. What day is it tomorrow? To do. Email boss. There we go. We'll do that. Let me get that in. Email boss. How we would have done yesterday's show in our style. There's going to be compromise, guys. There's going to be compromise. Why? Well, because I like working here. And I like being a voice of reason in a right-wing cesspit. And I like this station. I like this station. I love this show. I love working with Kath. I love working with Sam. I like almost 16% of the callers we get, which is a record for me. And also, I want to pay my mortgage and feed my kids. So I'm happy to compromise. Some of you will consider that to be a sellout. Some of you, I don't know. I hope you'll come along for the ride. And if at any point it gets too not us for you, then thank you very much for all your support so far. There's no need to tell us on Twitter that you won't be listening anymore. Don't do that.
Also,
that's a mean thing to do.
Here's a suggestion. Reserve judgment, because we change the show all the time.
Yeah, we do, actually. And you want, if you go back to listen to like the first month and then listen to like 15 months and then listen to 24 months, it's a completely different vibe, man. We've been doing this for almost three and a half years. It's a completely different vibe. So it changes and it evolves, and that is only natural, and we would love you to come along with us. And I'm making it sound bigger than it actually is by even saying this. I'm making it sound like, you know, just chill out. Chill out. We know what we're doing, and we're going to do it. Let's go to Riman. Good evening, Riman. Hello. Let me just try you on another line, just in case there's a problem with the phones. And hello, Riman. Can you hear me? Riman, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Goodbye. Let's go to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
It's Dave! It's raining Daves! Hallelujah, it's raining Daves! Whoa, Daves!
Wow.
Well, there's a one-hit wonder for you already, but I guess.
That's a good one. Who was it who did a sketch about it raining men? And just how horrific that would be, like loads of corpses everywhere.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was now,
Hey, I tell you something, Dave, does your cat go out?
Yeah, she goes out in the back garden. Yeah, okay, she hasn't climbed the fence yet.
Okay,
but,
all right. Well, here's, you know, I've had dead cats and shrews, dead mice and shrews and things and dead birds.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the thing I came downstairs to the other day, right? Under the kitchen table was the shell of a mouse.
What do you mean the shell?
The body, the empty body of the mouse. So the mouse was there, but there was nothing inside it, right? I went to the foot of my stairs, and there, in a big red lump, was the insides of a mouse. The cat, one of the cats, I think I know which one, and I don't want to name her until I've concluded my investigations, but one of the cats cut open a mouse, scooped out the guts, and then took it to the other side of the house and dumped the guts there.
You say cut open. Are you sure there was an incision and it wasn't just like a toothpaste thing?
No. It was a very precise opening. Because I picked it up. It was a very, very precise opening down the chest through to the bed. It was horrible, Dave. You think, what sick mind could even create such an horrific torture? It was disgusting, Dave. You've got that madness to come.
Well, yeah, now you know why Egyptians, you know, worship cats.
Yeah, they were cacking themselves.
You know, that mummification stuff, they didn't know.
It was horrific.
So am I ringing up to defend Boris Johnson or say about my favourite one-hit wonders?
I'm tempted. No, let's play it safe. Let's go for the Boris Johnson. No, sorry, let's go for the one-hit wonders. Go on.
So, Uptown Top Ranking by Alpha and Donna.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hang on, what was that?
Simi me boots and ting. You know, from 1970s.
I don't quite know it, Dad. Could you do a bit more of it, please?
No. I can't believe I did that bit.
Go on, just do that bit again.
No.
Just one more time.
No, you clip it.
So. I will not clip it. I will not clip it. I will not clip it.
Yeah.
Can we get it from the first one?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. See Me in My Boots and Ting. Okay.
See Me in My Boots and Ting.
Yep.
Since Yesterday by Strawberry Switchblade. Didn't you know that one?
Oh, I used to love that.
I don't. I know. Remember
da, 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 da. That one.
I remember Strawberry Switchblade. Yeah.
Didn't they have another hit then, Strawberry Switchblade?
I don't think so. Well, it was a really minor one.
I liked them.
There's friend of the show, Luke Haynes, his band Black Box Recorder had their one hit.
Oh, God. Facts of Life. I sat down at my computer Sunday before, actually, hit the iTunes on random. That was the first track that came up, 11:30 on a Sunday morning, Facts of Life. I've sat there with a coffee. Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah, those albums are great.
They're great. Yeah. Oh, we love Lukey Baby.
What else I've got? Single Bed by Fox. You know, Single Bed by Fox. These are all 70s ones, actually. But. And obviously, Delight, Groove Is in the Heart, which is a favourite of mine. Yeah.
Groove Is in the Heart? I hate that song.
I love it. I love it. I put that on
I used to hate it, but I love it.
It's brilliant. I put it on both my daughters' iPods, make them have it. They hate it. And I said, no, it's brilliant. You'll learn.
The big one that everyone's citing today, of course, is Return of the Mac. Now, it's a great song.
There's a reason why it was a one-hit wonder.
Well, no, is there? Because I know he went to prison for ABH, GBH, something.
Yeah, one of
some
those.
Letters, like
disturbance, disturbance in a Derby nightclub, I think.
Yeah, but didn't that happen? Didn't that happen some time after Return of the Mac, when it was clear that he was never going to have a hit again anyway?
Didn't he get someone else to do his community service for him? Didn't he try and get someone else to go and do it for him?
Oh my God, the man's a genius if he did. Mark Morrison.
Rings a bell.
That does ring a bell. I wonder what Mark Morrison is doing. Catherine, could you research?
I'm looking him up now.
Mark Morrison, the Mac.
Okay, here we go.
It's a great song. Put the person to one side. That is an amazing CD single. Kasingle. That's an amazing Kasingle.
Well, let's see.
Kasingles. I would buy Kasingles when they were reduced to 79 pence. Then I'd buy a Kasingle.
I had a Kasingle. I had, who was it? I Feel You by, what were they called?
The Dirty Bastards.
Something like that. Da, 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 da. It's really famous. Oh, I could have completely gone out of my head.
The one my dad had in his car, and it was really weird because he used to
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. My dad had one, and it was, but he was really into Neil Diamond. Then we get in his car one day, and he just, Kasingle on a loop. Oh, this is it. Sunshine on a rainy day makes my soul. Who was that? Was that?
That?
Was that Zoe? What was Zoe's song? Because maybe it was Zoe.
There was Steal My Sunshine by Len, wasn't there?
Len was always stealing my sunshine. What did Zoe?
Zoe, yeah.
It was that Zoe.
It was Zoe,
and you'd be on a drive for like an hour. You go, Dad, could we have something else? Or, no, I like this one. And it would just play auto reverse.
It's an old song, isn't it? Sunshine on a Rainy Day.
It was
a cover, I think.
I don't know. I don't know the history of Zoe's career choices. I associate that song, because I think they must have come out at the same time, with Martika's
Kitchen.
Martika's Kitchen's... Was that the band or was that the album?
No,
that was
the album.
Martika's version of I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet. I wonder what that version sounds like. Let me just get Martika. Hang on. Martika.
Toy Soldiers was Martika, wasn't it?
Like Toy Soldiers. Here we go. This is Martika, I Feel the Earth Move. Here we go. I wonder if this sounds as fresh as it did when I remember walking into Virgin Records on the Oxford, and it's always like a big thing, me going into Virgin Records. There's the Mac. It's got, look at those wheels, man.
Sweet Ride.
I remember feeling very grown up walking into Virgin Records, or maybe it was HMV, we just don't know. And then this was playing. great. This hasn't dated at all.
Someone take this for me.
You've got to look about that. She's a... Where is... Right, OK. Can we get Martika on the show? Because I want to ask that woman to marry me. She is stunning. She's got the look. She has got the look. I want to cook some bacon and eggs in Martika's kitchen.
Someone sampled Toy Soldier, didn't they? Was it... I want to say it was M&M, but I don't think it was. So she's probably got that money going for her.
Cool, good. She looks like Doc Cotton now.
A promise is a promise, you're getting married in the morning.
I don't want to marry Martika anymore. She does look like Doc Cotton. Not funny, it's a funny old word.
That Blind Melon thing you played.
Yes.
That was sort of 1990s MTV, you know, as far as I'm concerned. That and Stay by Lisa Loeb, which was always on. And what was it? Whale. Slobo Humping Robo Babe.
You're pretending you don't know what it's called.
Slobo Humping Robo Babe.
I can't really spell like that.
What about Steal My Sunshine? That was another one.
Yeah, by Len. Yeah.
Len.
Oh, you did mention that. Sorry, yeah. Apples.
Nah, it's cool.
All right, Dave. Thank you for those, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Ta-ra, ta-ra. I
dug out the Lisa Loeb album the other day.
It's not very good, is it?
There's one good song.
It's not a great... Yeah, Stay's a great song.
And she was cute. I really wanted to look like her. She was cool.
Got her own reality show a few years ago, and now she manufactures glasses.
Yeah.
You know, she phoned up Watco on his radio show because she just followed... She was watching him stream on Periscope. But she had a reality, like a dating show, wasn't it? Where it was like, find a husband for Lisa Loeb.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah, I'm sure of it. And just like Salt and Pepper had their own reality show, where one of them had become a born-again Christian and didn't want to do rap music.
Their biggest hit was probably a no-no, wasn't it?
Well, what was it?
Let's talk about...
Oh.
Jesus?
Let's talk about Jesus, baby. Let's talk about... I don't know how you could make that work. So we talked about your cleaner earlier on, how you'd fired off the first one, and she kind of just responded with an emoji. Okay then, bye.
Bye.
Happy smiley face. But you've now done the classic.
Yeah.
You've got a cleaner on the rebound.
I have.
You've got an older lady who, right, second week of cleaning.
Yeah.
And the first week, I said, how'd it go? You went, yeah, it's okay. First week, yeah, it's okay. And then this week, how'd it go? Yeah, it's okay. And here's my prediction, right? Okay on the first and second week of cleaning is not great. First 6 weeks, they need to be on the top of their game, and then they can let standards slide a little bit, right? So if she's only okay on week one and week two, right, and she comes at a random time, then by week five, you're going to be cleaning up, not only before her, as we all do, it's middle class thing. You're going to be cleaning up after her, and you won't be able to sack her because it's a one-woman organisation. It's not a company.
I like her, and I know what her name is.
Yeah. So you won't be able to sack her.
She's doing a sterling job. I sent her a text saying thanks for another lovely job.
Okay, but you told me it was...
It was all right, yeah.
Do you not see...
It's better than what I could do. As long as it's better than what I can do, that'll do me.
But do you not see the inconsistency here?
She is cleaning. I mean, they just weren't cleaning. I think they were coming and watching...
My cleaner.
This morning.
My cleaner, Becky.
I mean, she virtually lives there. You've told me not to speak to her.
She comes once a fortnight. She talks a lot. You cannot engage in conversation. But she does. I think she's brilliant. She does such an amazing job. Such a good job. Come in, it's clean, it smells clean, everything is tidy, everything is clean. I could not be happier with Becky. She's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Right? How was your clean today?
It was all right, yeah.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We got rid of Catherine. I felt that she was slowing. Ian Lee, Late Night Alternative.
Excuse me, Ian. What do you mean we got rid of Catherine? She's a rather hot, lovely, lovely girl. What do you mean?
Come on, Saffron.
So you're hot too, Ian.
Thank you. is your surname from Republica? Because that is, you have, it's that thing, it's Saffron from Republica. It might as well be.
Well, it is.
Do you
guess.
Mind that?
Not at all.
You sure?
Well, no, that's what I demand, actually. Yeah. I mean, I am Saffron Republica.
Are you, so you don't mind? 24 years since it started.
Yeah.
You're okay
plus,
with that.
Plus, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Here's the thing, right?
Go on.
We've met before. By the way, you think it was 6 years ago.
I know it was.
It wasn't. I've asked the people on Twitter when you were on my radio show last.
Oh.
It was 9 years ago.
It can't have been. It can't have been Ian because, Chris, it can't have been.
It was.
It can't have been because I was, right, okay. Well, it can't have been. No, make it. Howard Main Man out there. Uh-oh, Howard Main Man.
The management
okay,
are getting involved.
Okay, the Main
involved.
Man management.
You're welcome to come in, H.
Yeah.
He's saying, no thanks.
Who's very shy.
Not my scene.
And used to book Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars and Iggy Pop and the Stooges, but he's very shy about it. He used to be Mick Ronson's best friend.
Hey.
He is a wonderful, brilliant manager. Shy. Firm but fair.
Does he have like a cricket bat, like the manager in Spinal Tap?
Well, he doesn't need to because he has me.
You're his cricket
he
bat.
He will know that it's not 9 years, Ian. Honestly, do we?
God, they're going to fall out straight away.
No, it's not about that.
You're so wrong.
Unless you want to fall out. What's the definition of falling out?
Like everybody, and Catherine is coming back. I don't know, she's gone to get water. Everybody's got a crush on you, Saf. Everybody.
Really?
You know
I don't.
Do you know it?
I absolutely do not.
Everybody does.
How do you know this?
Because you're the hottest woman in rock.
Oh.
Easily. Hotter than Susie Quattro.
Oh.
Who's number two?
Oh,
but everyone.
Are you a Quattro fan?
Oh, I love Quattro. We've had Susie on the show.
I love
Susie Quattro.
But I'm above Quattro.
Oh, God, you're number one. Totally. I'm not just saying that. Everyone's got a crush on you.
Thank you.
So nice to see you. Basically, what I'm trying to say is...
Are you saying you're the everyone?
I'm not saying I'm a little bit nervous.
What? Why?
Just because you're Saffron from Republica.
Why are you still nervous of me?
I watched a video,
okay, of Dr. Gorgeous from 1997-98, Tea in the Park, which was the most amazing festival in Scotland. And weirdly, we just played Party in the Palace, which was also in Scotland. And a fan sent, and this is like 20-something odd years, it could have been nearly exactly the same photo or video, but...
On the stage.
I got a hump with myself. I thought, hang on, I need to channel my fierceness.
Yeah.
Well, from that time.
Were you not fierce enough 20 years later then?
No, I think people have, you know, yeah.
Boyle's in the house.
Yeah.
Boom. Welcome.
Here she is.
Here's the thing. You two, we met, I'm going to be honest, you may be able to tell from both of these women, we met Saffron in a pub.
What?
And Catherine, you can talk.
Which is unusual.
And we got, getting in the Uber back.
Help me, how does that work?
walking towards the cab. These two, arm round each other, basically doing the Lambeth walk.
Here's the other thing, right? I went in the loo, I thought, I'll just have a quick nip to the loo before, you know, pre-show wee. And as I'm in there, I hear, Kath! It was, right, the best moment I've ever had in my life, apart from when Noddy Holder said, Kath! In a pub once, right? That was right up there for me, Saf, because I was so nervous about meeting you, because...
You said this, yeah.
You're the reason I got into flipping... cat flick eyeliner and like the whole thing. I just thought you were the coolest person. So
thank you, bless you, darling.
But here's the thing, because when Republica, 95, 96, 97, 98,
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of years.
Yeah.
And there was
92, yeah, till
we're still going now, obviously.
Yeah,
but that was kind
started in 94. Yeah,
it was very even then, even now, it was unusual to see a powerful woman fronting a rock group.
This is so true, right? So I was like 19, looking around for strong female role models, right? Who were rocking it along with the boys and giving them a run for their money. In fact, I've beaten them half the time. And there was Saffron.
Yeah. Doing it with what looked like ease.
Yeah.
Just the attitude. And we just played Drop Dead Gorgeous in the video and that. It's like, you don't give a shit, man. You make it look so easy. I'm sure that was hard work, that shoot, but you make it look so easy.
It was so enjoyable. Yeah, it's hard graft, you know. Yeah. People think it's really easy. It's not, it's hard graft, but absolutely enjoyable. Absolutely, of course. You know, it's the song that, you know, we all wrote together, we, you know, recorded and produced and mixed. It's my band's song, you know, and we're getting to do a music video of it, and it's the follow-up to Ready to Go. No pressure.
That must have been... Well, was there pressure? That must have been... Everyone thinks it must be so exciting.
Well, I knew they would be beforehand, so, yeah. You know, because obviously growing up wanting to be a hot gossip or a rock star... Before I was born, before I met the Pope, which is actually true.
What?
We were talking about this earlier, actually, in the pub, with Uncle L Babs and main man H, my manager, and he was like, "Oh, who's the man's first? You know, you met all, you know." So we were the Queen, McCartney. You know. I went, "Well, I met the Pope."
When did you meet the Pope?
When I was at school, and
was it the proper Pope, John Paul II, the actual Pope, the real Pope.
Yeah. And he blessed me, bless you, my child, and I did a little wee.
I was a little child. How old were you then?
I can't remember, but I was from a Roman Catholic convent school. I was a bit overwhelmed. It's only a little tiny, little one.
Don't do it now. You just
move
as though you are.
I mean,
trying to recreate it.
Very tight, dear. Don't worry about that. I was fine, but it was the Pope. What would you do? If he blessed you.
I would, if the Pope blessed me, I would probably do a wee.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were a baby, literally I was a baby. And it was really sweet. And actually...
Well, it's worked because your life has been blessed.
I know, it actually
So there is something in this religious stuff.
Yeah.
Should we take a phone call?
Why not?
You can put your headphones on. If you follow the cable, there's a little volume thing in case it's a little bit too loud.
Where are we?
Just follow that cable all the way down. I want to introduce you to a good friend of the show. Alan, have you got it? Can you hear? Can you hear me, Saffron?
Yes, I can.
Alan Caddick, say hello to Saff.
Hey, Michael, Saffron.
Hello. How are you?
I'm enjoying the boat.
Oh, you're on the boat? What boat?
No, but here's the thing, we're not prepared to translate.
Oh, he's enjoying the book that we did. Alan, you're very hyped up tonight. Have you been
Smarties.
Have you been having Smarties, or have you been at the pussy?
What?
No.
The power drink. No, the energy drink. Monster and Red Bull and pussy.
No.
Yeah, there is. Are you just high on life, Alan?
Well, I'm coming in my pocket to one of my favourite singers from the 90s.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
You might do a little wee.
Bless you, darling.
my favourite song's Ready to Go.
Oh, brilliant.
I was wondering, Alan, would you be able to sing it to Saffron? Because she might have forgotten it.
Well, hang on, let me... Oh, my God. I've been seeing that on TFI Friday.
That's right. Yeah, Chris Evans was an amazing champion of ours. Yeah, and we really enjoyed that performance.
That was a good old show, TFI Friday.
Alan,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it's on YouTube.
Probably.
Might be, you know. Yeah. Yeah, have a look. Yeah.
Do you want to sing a little bit for us, Alan?
I'm a dog.
Don't put it on.
Baby, I'm ready to go. I'm back. Ready to go. From the window. Ready to go.
Wow.
Thanks so much for your call, Alan. Trust me, it's not putting it on Alan to ask him to sing. That's a regular.
Cheers, Alan.
I'm just thinking, we've got your manager there. If you ever get a dicky throat or, you know, we get these colds, we've got a stand in. Just dye a bit of his hair red, no one will ever know. Thank you, Alan. Excellent, excellent stuff. TFI Friday was a great show.
It really was. Because
it was at a time when there still wasn't that, obviously we didn't have the internet, so you got pop and rock and live performances when you were given them on TV. Yeah. You couldn't go on, you know, now it's YouTube. I find anything. I want to find a concert you did last week if I want. Mm. But then there were specific times that you would get pop and rock, and you just had to keep your fingers crossed it was a band that you liked.
Well, it wasn't fingers. You had to smash Dan Dunlop. You had to boot your way in to even get a chance.
Is that how it worked?
Yeah, to get even a chance to get on there.
Yeah.
Because there was so few.
Yeah. It was, and that was a great show. That was funny. It was, you know, people think Chris Evans now, you know, some people are a bit sour.
But then it was like nothing else.
No, he did. It was absolutely pioneering.
Yeah.
And I saw him, you know, from the rehearsals and stuff. I mean, he really absolutely was there at the rehearsals, at the run through, the camera angles and everything. He was a pioneer.
And when you did a show like that, did you notice, like, over the weekend, would you get, like, reports on Monday going, well, the album sold another 20,000 because of the TV appearance?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Isn't it funny? Yeah. And now, I don't...
That was a massive show. It was a massive show.
I don't watch TV.
Actually, the album came about three or four years ago. The TFI Friday album came out and went to number one and we were on it.
Oh, yeah.
But Chris, so, you know, it really still today...
Yeah, yeah.
..you know, has a relevance.
Well, they did it again. Did they do a series or did they just do a one-off?
I don't know. I remember Danny Baker being involved
in it.
Maybe it was
just a one-off.
But they didn't, they had the album. And yeah.
And it was live and you would have played live. But by that stage, you would have been a really tight little band.
Well, yeah, because luckily we were blessed that we'd been to America and we'd broken America before. We were very, very lucky to have done that, yes.
Jamie, stay there. We're going to take your call in a second. 0344 499 1000, the late night... By the way, you can just call in about the usual rubbish. You can talk to Saf if you want, or you can just call in and talk a load of rubbish. I'm not fussed either way. You want to join in... The madness, you listen.
I absolutely do. I listen to the psychic.
To Clinton.
Yeah.
Very confusing for everybody.
It did.
Some people got upset by that, saying he was a fraud.
Well, people get frightened by things they don't understand.
Yeah, dark forces. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. We've got Saffron from Republican. Now, you were telling me, and Catherine, that you recently accosted Jude Law in the street. You hounded one of Britain's finest actors.
Oh, I didn't hound him.
Well, you sassed him.
I bet he loved it.
I bet he loved it. Him. What, because one of your songs was in the trailer for Captain Marvel.
That's right.
Yeah. Huge film. One of the biggest films. Was that last year? I'm not going to ask you what year it was because you will fall out over
last
it.
Last year.
It was last year.
No, this year. Early part of this year, wasn't it?
It was this year.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like hanging out with my granddad.
Before Endgame, it was the highest grossing film of all time. But,
and your song was in the trailer.
Yes. Like, you know, it's the phone call that everybody wants. You know, the head of Marvel, you know.
Did you know before? Do you get a phone call saying, we'd like to use your song? Did you,
phones our publisher and says, you know, I'm a fan and I'd like to use your song, Ready to Go. As the music's official music trailer for our new film, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, of course the answer is yes. But I didn't realise. She's the most, you know, one, she's a she.
Yeah.
Secondly, she's the most powerful of all the superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen Iron Man and Thor and I've got Fancy Loki and But I didn't realise they'd been battered, you know, in the assembled Spider-Man. Oh, my God. This baddie is really... Oh, God, he's...
Thanos. It was Thanos.
Some things of the eternity. But the thing, you know, what the hell's going on? So, obviously, Fury, yeah. Samuel Jackson's like, I've got to go and find her. I've got to go and find her.
We know the story of Captain Marvel.
I thought you didn't know.
I've got boys who are 7 and 9. I've seen them all.
But I didn't, you see.
Right, yeah.
So, therefore, I was like, well, yes, this is wonderful. And then this amazing film came out.
And Jude Law's in the film.
He is, as is Samuel Jackson and Brice Larson.
You saw Jude Law in the street.
I saw him in the street. I said, all right, Jude. And he walked past me and I said, excuse me. And he went, oh, hello, Saffron. I went, oh, I said, it's quite in here. I said, I just don't, I wrote, and he just went, he was about to say, which, I went, I went, Captain Marvel, oh yeah, oh yeah, thank you. And he was very, very friendly and respectful. And I went, yeah, that one, that film,
that
Captain
film.
Marvel.
That must be exciting though, because
he's lovely though.
Because there's a lot of bands really from 23, 24 years ago that you don't, What did you say?
He's very friendly, good looking, married, but never mind.
Okay. Anyway. There's a lot of bands from 23, 24 years ago that you don't hear of. And a lot of their songs you go, oh, well, yeah, I think I remember that. But your hits, your sort of four or five big hits, people know them. They've lasted the test of time, being used to sell one of the biggest movies of the last 10, 15 years. Mm. Shows just how, you know, loud and great those songs were.
Well, I mean, for us, it's blessed, you know, it's the phone call, but not just that. The fact that, for me, as the role, Brie Starston, Captain Marvel, one, you know, showing it, she is the first strong female actress as a lead character to break the $1 billion take at the box office, boys, you know. So it's like, come on.
When
female empowerment, you know, intelligent, skilled, badass. Fierce.
And it was a good film.
You know, she can look after herself. She's clever, intelligent, and all of these things. A great, great female role model for the modern day, badly needed.
She was hardly in the last Avengers film. They totally screwed up, right? I don't know if you see this, spoiler alert. So the last Avengers film, they're all getting killed and destroyed, right? And then suddenly Captain Marvel pops up and destroys the spaceship, does it all in the last 5-10 minutes, and you think,
well, she tidies up.
She tidies up, man. The men mess up, and she comes and just goes, zap, 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 whatever she does.
And then carries on with her life.
And just
because she's,
she's the best.
She is the most powerful of all the superheroes. Yeah. And it's so wonderful to be deluged by these amazing, I did not know how massive the Marvel community of fans of universes, and just for the acceptance, the thanks, you know, people around the world saying, we've waited years for her, you know, and the first glimpse of her we associate now with your song, thank you. And I've just welcomed, you know, us, you know, to the Marvel universe, which is, you know, which is amazing.
You can start doing those Comic-Cons and the conventions now.
I might meet loads of people in Star Wars and everything.
Stars
and everything.
Let's speak to our friend Jerry. Good evening, Jerry.
Hello, Mr. Lee, how are you?
Very, very well, Jerry. What you got for us tonight?
I say I saw stuff from the Keele University Freshers Week, 1998 to 1999.
Which university was it?
Keele.
You were playing at the Keele University Freshers?
Yes, we did.
I got kicked off of crowd surfing.
You got told off for crowd surfing?
I got kicked out, you let me on band off and get back in. So,
for crowd surfing?
Surely you're supposed to do that.
There we go. No,
they kicked me out.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. I would have got you back in.
If you're asking, you're not asking Saf for a refund, are you? Because I don't think, that was 20 years ago, mate. I think it's kind of...
I've got the receipt.
Oh, but did you have a good night, though, mate?
Good, cracking, good songs, good songs. I think about around the care room. I think about ready to go, I banged out every day out the window, think of the care room.
Jerry's in the care home, so he's a troublemaker.
Thank
in the
you very much.
Care home.
Good to see you again.
Thank you, and to you, I'm really grateful.
Jerry, can I give you one piece of advice?
Healthy room.
Stick it up your bum. There we go.
No, don't be like that.
He got
thank
in before you.
He did get in before me. Let's go to...
He does it to me.
To be honest,
I have a duty of care and a duty of candor, and that's absolutely awesome.
Duty of candor, that's a great name for a band. We're Duty of Candor. Welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it. It's our first song. It's called Up Your Bum. let's go to... we've got Kerry on the line. Good evening, Kerry.
Hi.
Hi, Kerry.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, is that Kessa?
It is.
Hello, my darling.
Is this one of your mates?
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right, my darling girl. Yeah, what year was it, Kerry, in Republica played in the middle of the pitch in the Stadium Light in Sunderland when they played against Birmingham and they won and they went up to the Premier League, and Kerry was a ball girl back then, weren't you?
Yeah,
and
it was 1998, I was 13.
Oh, bless her. Yeah, and it was wonderful, wasn't it, for you and your family and everybody in Sundance. All the Mackhams.
Yes, I've got Laura here as well.
Oh, hello, Laura.
Kerry, can I ask... Kerry, can I... You're like a big fan of SAF, right?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? Are you good with dates and stuff?
Kind of.
Saffron came on a show I did. Really sorry to hammer this home, but this is...
James will know.
Saffron came on a show I did on Absolute Radio, no. And I just wondered if you knew what year it was.
James will know. James will know.
James
will know.
Can James phone in?
He could.
James,
yeah, he's actually a very big fan of
yours. Oh, is he? Yeah. So, Kerry, are you like a big proper, are you a hardcore fan?
She is.
Yes, I
have. Yeah.
How, you don't sound old enough.
I'll take that.
What are you trying to say, Ian Lee?
I'm saying that you span generations, is what it sounds like.
Kerry,
I'm going to ask you. Have you absolutely
I have.
I'm going to ask you, Kerry, how old are you?
35.
Oh, okay, right. You're old. Okay, fine.
Did you just say you're old?
How dare you? No, I thought she was like 15 or something.
35 is not old. 35. You can't speak to women like that.
35 is not old. Can you just stop ganging up on me?
I'm with Saffron.
For a moment, please. You were nervous to meet her, and now you two
turns out we're on the same team.
Don't you speak to my fans like that.
I'm sorry, miss. what is it, Kerry? What is it? Because I you must have seen them live quite a few times, right?
Yes, I have.
How many times do you reckon?
They travel all over the country.
I've traveled all over. I've lost count.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah,
I love wonderful. Fans like that.
She's
love
amazing.
It.
Yeah, all of them, all the Republican family are amazing.
Why?
They travel all over. We love you.
What
love
is you. It about... Pretend Saffron can't hear, right? But what is it about her and the band that means you travel all over the place to go and see them? Why them?
Because they're just lovely people, and the music's fantastic. They're down to earth and easy to talk to, and we're just waiting for the news music, and just they're just lovely to watch. And
thank you, sweetheart.
Well,
guess what? We've got 2 albums coming out next year.
Greedy.
Yeah.
Very greedy. The 2 Republica albums?
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah. So the first release will be a reissue of our first album, and it's a special deluxe edition.
Yes, mate.
Yes. The debut album for the super fans. So it'll be a physical item in a box designed with artwork and photographs. It's a 3-disc CD, so it will have rarities, it will have mixes that no one's ever heard.
Wow.
We have the first ever Chemical Brothers remix, DJ Justin Robertson, Way Out West, Hard Case Brothers, different dance mixes, different rock mixes, all of the first albums. So there's a lot on there, and I'm very, very, me and the band are very, very proud of it. So that's going to be coming out on Cherry Red Records.
We love Cherry Red.
We love Cherry Red.
We had Mike McCartney in a few weeks ago, yeah. Paul's brother who's on Cherry Red.
Yeah.
They do such good repackages.
They're amazing label for repackages.
They're incredible.
In the
issue, they put so much care in there.
They really do. They really actually care.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do care.
So that's album number one.
That's album number
What's
one.
What's album number two?
Album number two, it's yes. brand new.
Wow.
Mm. Brand new Republica
this
album.
This is great, man.
Yeah.
Did I
show you the front cover earlier?
No.
Might have done.
You were just showing us the pictures of you playing to 90,000 people.
Oh,
that's,
right,
what you, that's what you were showing us.
Victorious.
No, you've not shown us the cover.
So it's also, as you liked what I'm wearing, my gold knuckle duster and bling jumpsuit by Gresham Blake.
Yep.
Who's the famous tailor who's made me the amazing suit. A gold two-tone tonic suit. You know, he clothes Ray Winston and Rag and Bone Man. Steve Coogan and people. I've got a wonderful suit by him. But he's made me these amazing jumpsuits. I've got a pills jumpsuit. It's got jumpsuits covered in brightly coloured pills. An assortment of amazing
and
items.
And he's done the cover.
And I'm going to be in his new lookbook, which is coming out, which is amazing because he really is a superb tailor and fashion designer who does short films. And he has a wonderful team in Brighton, and he's got a shop in London too, but his tailoring's is beyond. He really is Alexander McQueen.
Spent time with Saffron day. Kerry, did you find it impossible to get a word in edgeways?
Oh, she's lovely.
Isn't she the best?
She's fantastic.
Hey Kerry, it's so nice to talk to you. Thanks for calling. Was there anything else you wanted to say or ask before I let you go?
Yeah, I was just asked, do you think there's enough female artists represented at festivals, music festivals?
No, I don't, Kerry. That's a really, really good question, actually. And funny enough, we were talking about this earlier. No, I absolutely don't, Kerry. And as you know, I mentor and you know, do as much as I can, apart from, you know, working at music colleges at such as BIM and helping youngsters, you know, with masterclasses and stuff like that, with young up and coming bands, but especially I do try and mentor female artists like India, and you know, there's lots of different ones that currently, you know, we're pushing, and you know, Donna Zed, who I met the other day at the Prog Rock Awards and stuff. You know, there's so many out there that really need help and a push. And, I don't think so, no.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Going to spend the last hour just going to send a love out, man. Although someone's, Kieran's calling me out.
He's right.
For playing the English version.
I've got the whole album with Ellis doing this one.
Yes.
E Pau, E Pedra.
It's a great song. I heard that song on BBC London like years and years ago. It's the only time I've ever phoned up a radio station and gone, what was that song you just played? Mm-hmm. It's like 15 years ago, about 2 o'clock in the morning. 03444991000. Call straight to air. Yes, line one.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Ian.
Spidey sense goes straight away. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, what do you want?
I'm not... Right. I almost apologise for spoiling tonight. It's been a tough day.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I've not had the vibe of the show. I've not been able to hear the show tonight.
Okay. But, what's going on with you, my friend?
I was just back from a funeral from a friend today.
Hey, mate, I'm sorry to hear that.
And it's been a tough one. It's probably been the first one I've attended that's not been an expected older relative or friend.
It's a peer.
Mother or father. Somebody in your own age group.
Yeah.
It's been tough going.
Do you want to talk about the person? Would that be helpful? Or do you want to talk about how you feel? Or do you not want to do either of those things?
Maybe neither.
Beautiful. That's fair enough.
It was just one or something that just really hit home pretty. And as you can probably gather, I've had a few drinks. And
I've picked up that. We smelt it. Me and Kath smelt it. And why the hell not? Where are you now? Are you at home?
Yeah. Home, safe and sound.
Are you going to have another drink before you go to bed, or are you going to go to bed?
No. We're going to bed after this.
You're going to go up the Wooden Hill to Bedfordshire?
Not Bedfordshire. Stornocastle.
Go on, though, because this is a thing. And are you on your own, or have you got someone there with you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Everything's okay.
We're all going to die. And it's obvious, but actually it's not that obvious until someone of a similar age who you think is going to be around forever dies. And then it really hits home. Oh shit. That's going to happen to me at some point. And that's going to happen to everyone I love at some point.
I know. Indeed. I know you're good at this, right? So guess the age. My age.
It's hard to do, man, when there's a booze filter, but I'm going to start. There's the booze filter, and I don't like doing this under pressure, but I'm going to say 36.
Oh, I like it.
What, are you 42?
43.
Oh! 42 came up, and I went, and I was trying to factor in the booze thing, and I went younger. That's a cheat doing it with. You can't, mate, put me under pressure. like that. 42, and it's nothing, man. That's nothing. That's younger than me. You know, when people younger than you start dying, you think, man alive, that's it. Suddenly you see the conveyor belt that you're on, and you can see the ending. You go, that's where I'm going, man. And what I am learning to do, and I don't do it very often. Sometimes I can do it for a couple of minutes. Sometimes I've been able to do it for about an hour. But is just try and grab life and suck it dry. It's
I'm
hard.
In the same boat. That's the way I will go. I've always been, and I will continue to go. But just, it's been a tough day. It's been a tough day.
Well done for getting through it, man. Well done.
Thank you.
Seriously, well done. It's tough. Get to bed. You deserve it. I'm not saying it because you're drunk. I'm saying you deserve it. Get to bed, and if you're sharing a bed with someone, hug them.
Yeah. You're absolutely fine.
Nice.
I will phone you again in better circumstances.
Okay.
I promise.
Thank you, man.
I said I'll see you in person. But I definitely will.
Nice to talk to you, mate. Thanks for the call.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for taking the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's that thing. After every funeral, I've been blessed. I've not been to that many. Every funeral, you think, man, right, I'm gonna live life to the full.
Yeah, it lasts about 6 weeks.
If you're lucky, it lasts 6 weeks. Yeah, if you're lucky, it'll last 6 weeks. I found it actually lasting significantly shorter than that. But sometimes I can remember for 5-6 minutes that this is not forever, and I can really, enjoy. I've had some real, I tell you, not many, but a real transcendent moment. And this was maybe 3 years ago. It's when I took my boys to see the Beach Boys, and they played God Only Knows, it was a song at my wedding, but I also sing one of the most beautiful songs in the world. And I had my arm around one son on my right, and I think I had my arm on the leg of, or it was hugging the other son on the left. And I made sure for that 3 minutes 20, I was there. I have never been more alert in my life. I was taking everything in. I was looking at the band. I was feeling the boys in my hands. I was looking at them. I was touching the trousers of the one on the left, so I could feel the material. That 3 minutes 20, however long that song is, probably a bit shorter. I've never been more present in my life, because I thought, this is it. This is one of those moments, and that's it. I'll remember that to the day I die. You're getting upset. May I ask why?
Just because there are those moments, aren't there, where, sorry.
It's funny how we say sorry when we get emotional. It's strange, isn't it?
You know, I've been to too many funerals recently, and, yeah, those little flash points in your life where you think, I am present, and I'll never forget this feeling, and just got me thinking about this is a really, like, obvious one, but, when I had my first baby, and, they'd forgotten to take me up a duralow so I couldn't walk. And I said, if she cries in the night, because they had to keep me in because we had a bit of trouble. And what am I going to do? I can't get out to her. So they put her in bed with me. And I remember holding that baby and her. She's always been a really kind of, she's always had a face that looks like she wants to see the manager. She's always been really upright and really aware. And I just remember going through something really traumatic, but wonderful, like the worst day of your life, the best moment of your life, you know, in that rush of love when you see your first baby and it's like a stranger, but you know them and you love them and you could pick them out in a lineup straight away. And, I remember holding that baby and us looking at each other for hours, for hours. I had her in the early hours of the morning and I don't think we stopped gazing at each other. You know, it was, the sun came up and that was a really special time, just me and her. She won't ever remember it and I won't ever forget it.
Magic. Thank you for sharing that. I'm seeing my eldest play football at a tournament on Saturday morning, and I'm going, normally my wife would go, but she's taking the youngest to a Dennis the Menace thing. I saw my eldest briefly yesterday. I said, what's this football tournament? I don't know. Where is it? I don't know. Looking forward to it? Well, yeah, I guess. He really couldn't care less. He's 15 at the age of 9.
Oh, yeah. Right?
But I'm going to go, and I'm going to take some snapshots with my head. I think I'm really going to make sure that I'm present. I'm going to take a nice flask of coffee. I'm going to switch my phone off. I often do anyway when I go and watch him play football. I'll switch my phone off, and I'm going to just focus in on him.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to remember that.
Time stops, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to really enjoy Saturday morning.
That thing I had with my eldest, like I said, she won't remember it, but the other week when she had whatever happened at home, we don't know whether she had a seizure or she fainted or what, but she and I ended up in hospital, and it was that again, me and her just together. It was, you know, and oh, it's a crappy thing to have happened, but us being together in that moment and me backing her up and her relying on me was just, you know, it's what life's about, those moments, isn't it? Those little milestones.
Sit Stan Walk says, that song is the only song I had to pull over to a hard shoulder to listen to for the first time. It was in French and took ages to find its name. Well, that's the same thing that happened to me. So mine was that English version. That was by Joyce, Waters of March. But that's the same thing. I heard it and I pulled over and I phoned up BBC London, GLR.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't GLR then. So what was that song you've just played? Never done that.
I heard it in Portuguese. It was Brazilian, right? In the original version. And
right.
It's just magical. And if you look it up online, there's this really charming video. It's with Elise, her name is, yeah, and Tom Jobim, who wrote it.
Tom Jobim.
And they're both smoking and laughing and singing to each other and kind of breathing some fag ash in each other's faces. But it looks like the most joyous time ever. It's two people having a really good time. That song's just, you know, like an audio giggle, isn't it?
Have we done this break? Let's do a break. Then when we come back, we get some calls I like the look of. Allow me to be a little bit choosy. If we get some calls I like the look of, I'll put them through. But I'd really like to do a Periscope love bomb.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Right, we're going to do we can do a Periscope love bomb. If you don't know how this works, Periscope is this thing where people stream from all over the world, and sometimes they get tens of viewers, sometimes they get hundreds, sometimes they get thousands. But the ones that I'm really interested in are the ones that have 4, 5, 6 viewers. Sometimes they have less, sometimes they have 1, sometimes they have 0 viewers. So what we're going to do is I'm going to try and find someone who's broadcasting to 0, who seems like a nice person.
And not a potty mouth.
Not a potty mouth. So we'll stay away from America for a moment. See if we can find someone in Britain. And then I'm going to tell you, I will tweet and I will tell you the link and we'll all go and we'll visit their channel and we'll just send nice. Whoa!
Straight
okay.
away. Oh my God.
You have to do a little dump there because the first one I went to, they were playing Bill Hicks. It's always a risky game. I've got, I'm going to have some saffron's water because I've got a frog in my throat. And because it'd be like kissing her. There we go, sorry. Right. Okay, let's try again. Let's try, this. What is... We won't go to this, but this is just a guy. I'm the only person watching. He's DJing in his spare room.
Oh, he's adorable.
But he can't see us, but
he's having a wicked time.
I wonder if he can see me. He's not looking at the screen, so he can't see. Oh, we've left. Okay, but that was... Maybe he can. Hang on a minute. This might be it. Let me just see if he replies to me. I think he's just texting someone. This is a very strange broadcast. He's DJing in his spare room. He's got the headphones on. He's having a little boogie. But when I say boogie, he's doing that side dancing, just going from foot to foot to foot. All right. Well, it looks fun, but he's completely unaware that we're there. Okay. He's completely unaware that we're there. Okay. So we're not going to go to him. That's, let's see what this is. Oh, that sounds like someone tossing off. Okay.
My God.
We don't want that. Oh. What's this?
Eric.
We found it. Right.
Hi, Ian Lee. Oh my God. Isn't that guy who's on that Radio 1?
What? His face.
Is it?
Radio 1. Smell. Yes, man. Right, this is it. So, I'm tweeting him now. So, we're tweeting him now.
He's got a gold thing.
So, if you're following me on Twitter, go and join this guy now. I'm going to plug him in.
Let me turn my sound off.
Because you've got to see this, because he's loving it. He's loving it. why can't we hear?
It literally said, look.
Look at his face.
Oh my God, Ian, like, can you please not, like, please?
What? His name is, I don't know what the channel would be.
And he's got like, he's probably got thousands of followers, like, I was about to go to sleep as well.
No, wake up, buddy.
7, 8.
Here we go.
Have I like won a prize or something? Like, did I win a lottery?
I don't know how we find,
9.
His name is, so I think his channel would be periscope.tv/YAA. R-E Blanche. YAA-RE BLANCHE. Everybody dive in. He's got 12 viewers at the moment.
He's got 18.
Here we go, everybody.
Good morning. Good night.
21. Yeah. 24.
25. 17
people.
Good dad. Something I can't cope. Why is there so many people joining this?
There we go.
Eric, there's literally 28 people.
Hello.
Let's get it over 100. Let's blow this guy's mind. He seems like a nice guy.
I can't handle this fame. This is too
38.
Much fun.
Can't handle this fame. What a nice guy.
Could you please?
45.
She's funny.
You are live. I told you he was on a radio person.
You did say Radio 1, though.
So be back to them.
Whoa. Please don't swear. Please don't swear. I've lost the connection a little bit.
What is going on? Who are all these people? Please don't swear.
Oh, sorry. Wait, what is going on?
So we've got 70 people. Come on, guys. Let's get it over 100. 74.
Yeah, but why have I been shared to talk radio?
So it's periscope.tv/YAARE VLANCHE. YAARE Blanche.
I don't know what to do. I'm getting anxiety.
I'm going to call him. Don't get anxiety, brother. I'm going to come and chat to you.
I can't deal with this.
I'm going to go and I'm going to ask to join the call.
Oh, my God.
This is what we want.
112 people. What the hell is going on?
I've asked to join. Will you accept me?
But why, like, why did you share mine?
133. This is it, people. This is what we want in a toxic world at the moment. 140.
Look at you. I don't know what to do. I'm getting stressed. And why? What radio is this stuff on at midnight?
Yeah, exactly. What kind of show?
Lousy show.
You? Diamond, can you help us? It's a love bomb. Oh my God.
153. This is great, man. What a nice guy. Connection's not great.
They've baited us both out.
I'm joining. I'm going in.
What is going on?
Hey man, can you hear me?
Yeah.
How you doing?
What's going on?
We come in peace.
Okay.
You're right. I have been on the telly. I was on I'm a Celebrity a couple of years ago with Amir Khan and Toff.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
But not Radio 1. That's very kind. But we're on Talk Radio right now.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what we're doing, man. Just, you know, the world is really miserable and mean at the moment, right? And
isn't it horrible?
And the politics and all of that stuff. And we just wanted to make the end of our show, me and my friend Catherine. We just wanted to do something nice. And so we do, every now and then, we do this thing called a Periscope Love Bomb, where I go on Periscope and find someone who hasn't got many viewers and looks lovely. And we just come in and say...
Sorry for swearing, I didn't even realise what...
That's all right, man, you didn't know, and I dumped it. But we just wanted to come and say that you look like a nice person. I hope you're well, I hope you're happy. And that we just wanted to send you some love, man.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind.
And there's no catch, there's no trick, there's just... We just want to try and make someone smile, and we chose you. And I hope you're not... You said you were getting anxious, and I hope I've not raised your anxiety too much.
No, I was getting... I was seeing the numbers raise at first, because I don't usually get more than 7 people on here. They're seeing, like, the numbers go up so fast.
So why do you do this? Do you... Because I've noticed that a few people sort of use this instead of maybe doing WhatsApp or a phone call. So are you talking to friends on here or strangers?
To be honest, the reason why I started, like, doing this in the first place was because I kind of wanted to get to know more people.
Okay.
And also, I felt like it was a way to, like, express who I am.
Yeah.
And be my true self.
In a way that you struggle to do day to day, do you mean, or?
Yeah, I think... it was just somewhere where I could just be myself and, like, be out, like, in terms of my sexuality as who I am.
Yeah.
And it's been hard, to be honest. I've had, like, a lot of hate on here. I won't even lie about that. But I think I decided to come back on here on Tuesday. I was about to delete this. So it's not like a happy story, to be honest, because I did get a lot of stuff on here, a lot of trolls, a lot of people sending me quite, like, horrible stuff.
Because you're gay? Are you gay? Sorry, I've made an assumption there.
I am, yeah.
And you were getting stuck.
A lot of people.
Yeah, go on.
Had a problem with that. I used to go on people's lives and I used to get blocked with the words like, oh, he's a gay guy, just don't add him.
Wow.
On this Periscope, he's weird, he's stuff like this. And I got death threats, I got everything.
Oh, mate.
And I've got this, I've got the screenshots of it and everything like that, but it shook me, to be honest. So I wasn't going to come on here for before. On Tuesday I was going to delete this, but then I've got a few like good people on it who I do know.
Yeah.
And I thought I'll keep it because, you know, it's, I'd rather be positive. And to be honest, this sounds like a reach. I'm only 22, but I want to like be more open about my sexuality and stuff, because if I feel that I can change one person's like life by just being myself and by being true to myself, and one person sees this, then that's good. I'm not going to hide who I am, because I used to do that a lot when I was younger.
If I ask you anything that's too personal, you can tell me to get lost, and I will happily get lost. But so, first of all, I'm really sorry that you got abuse. I know that Twitter is a horrible, horrible place, and I've had tons of abuse on there. But I didn't realise that Periscope could be quite so mean as well.
It is, and I've witnessed a lot of nasty, cruel things on here, and it hurt. And this is so like weird. The reason why this is so weird to me above anything else is because I'm like sad. I was saying to myself, like, this world is shit. Like, I was thinking so many cruel people are here. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
Get away with the shit. Don't.
Oh, okay. yeah, this world is crap. And I realised that, and like, that's what I was thinking to myself, like, just a few days ago, and that's why I think it's so weird that this has happened, like, now.
Mm.
First I thought it was, like, some kind of joke or something, but then I realised, like, when more people started joining, that this was real.
We're doing this.
It is a lot that needs to be done.
Say that again, man, it dropped out.
Well, I said that I think there's a lot more that needs to be done about cyberbullying and about just people being cruel on the internet.
Well, we're talking, I mean, not too much, but the whole language in the Houses of Parliament the last couple of days, if the people at the top are being, well, it's been primarily misogynism has been the thing as opposed to homophobia, but if the people at the top, the Prime Minister of the country can be abusive towards a group of people, then we're all screwed, man. You know, it seems to be becoming more and more acceptable to pick on people because of their colour, their gender, their sexuality, their disability, whatever. And I hate that.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.